This is Lori Sonkin with WRFI Community Radio News for Wednesday, May 24th. Joining us by telephone this evening is Sandra Steingraber. Sandra Steingraber is an ecologist and author. She's very active in the organization We Are Seneca Lake. They have run a civil disobedience campaign to stop the construction of gas storage facilities in salt caverns on Seneca Lake near Watkins Glen. Earlier this month, Arlington Storage announced that it is discontinuing its efforts to store methanes in the salt caverns. This is a victory for those opposed to the project. But Crestwood is not giving up on its plans to store propane in salt caverns nearby. Welcome to the program, Sandra.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. So are you celebrating?
Well, we're very happy about this. I've never been so happy with the verb discontinue, right? So what it means is that this Houston-based company, one of the largest gas storage and transportation companies in North America, which had the Finger Lakes in its sights to serve as the gas transportation and storage hub for the entire Northeast, is now walking away from one of two proposed projects. Both of those projects propose to store the products of fracking in abandoned salt caverns next to and under Seneca Lake. There's two separate projects. One of them would store methane, which is what natural gas is. And when you compress under high pressure methane, it's still a gas, and it would travel to the pipeline, to the salt caverns by pipeline. And that's the project that's been now abandoned. The other project, which is still in play, would store liquefied petroleum gas, otherwise known as propane. And it just so happens that when you pressurize propane, it does turn from a gas into a liquid. And so that, because of that, it would be transported by things like, propane is transported by truck and by train and so forth. And so the decision maker for the propane part of the plan lies with Governor Cuomo. The decision, the regulatory decision for the methane storage lay with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which had given all of its approvals, which is why we had kicked off a civil disobedience campaign since we had exhausted all legal avenues for redress. But in addition to our very visible civil disobedience campaign, I want to emphasize that there were many, many other forms of social and political activism that all work together. The wineries wrote letters, signed petitions, held press conferences. There were 32 municipalities that passed resolutions opposing gas storage in which 1.2 million people live. That is a lot of political pressure from municipalities. In addition, there were many businesses, in addition to the wineries, who also were very outspoken. And for good biological reasons, right? Because this lake really turns water into wine. Seneca Lake is a kind of barometer and a thermometer for the whole Finger Lakes region. There's so much water in this deep lake that it modulates the temperature, making it ideal for wine grapes, and of course making it breathtakingly beautiful, attracting tourists to our shores, making possible amazing farm-to-table agriculture. So we have a thriving, vibrant rural economy because of this lake. So to put all that at risk for one company that is not even going to provide gas for the people who live here, but are simply using this as a gas station to hold their products until it can get them to distant markets, that's what we were being asked to endure.
And so we're very busy. And as you have said, I've heard you say many times, Seneca Lake provides drinking water for about 100,000 people, and so it's in a very important place, and I agree. It wasn't just your civil disobedience campaign that has played a role. There were lots of people and business interests involved. In its announcement that it was not going to be moving forward, they said Crestwood, or Arlington Storage, which is a subsidiary of Crestwood, said that it was not successful in obtaining natural gas storage contracts. Why do you think that was?
Like, there are two possibilities. So essentially what Crestwood is saying is that it had made this promise to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission years ago when it first applied for approval to do this project. And the promise was that, oh, yes, we have so many customers. Everyone is waiting for this gas. We need to, you know, turn these abandoned salt caverns left over from 100 years of salt mining operations into holding tanks for this product, and we certainly have plenty of customers for it. And now what they're admitting is that they actually don't have bids and contracts, and so it's not worth it to their investors to go forward with the construction on this project. So there's a couple possibilities here. One is that we did our job really well, and we had, you know, 18-year-olds to 92-year-olds arrested in their driveway week after week, year after year, almost 700 arrests of common, ordinary folks who live here. And that sends a very powerful message. I think that's the power of civil disobedience, to showcase the breadth and depth of citizen opposition. And if a 92-year-old woman is willing to risk handcuffs and a possible jail sentence because her granddaughter needs a safe climate to grow up in, if winemakers and health professionals and public school teachers and so forth, this whole cross-section of people, if you keep that up long enough, then investors start to wonder if this is a good project, right? So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that we've done our job very well in a larger way by opening the door to renewable energy, investing in that, bringing the costs down, ramping up the economy of scale such that there's just not that much demand out there for natural gas, period. So I don't know which one of those stories is true. They're not mutually exclusive. Maybe it's a combination of both. But either one, I think, shows the power of citizen activism and the idea that we're living in this very exciting time where this kind of ruinous past that's lorded over by fossil fuels is battling it out now with the future, right? So this driveway that we did our civil disobedience blockades on was really a battleground, like who gets to decide what kind of development the Finger Lakes is going to have, the fossil fuel industry or those who have more sustainable ideas for development. And the driveway upon which we were arrested became then sort of a theater of ordinary people literally standing against trucks that were servicing a fossil fuel project that we felt was dangerous to drinking water, possibly explosive, and putting a lake at risk, and also just, even if absent all accident, brings more climate-killing product to market. And so people had various reasons for standing there in the driveway. But it was a very meaningful moment to people. And I think the media messages that we sent out, people felt that narrative, felt the power of our witness and our blockades.
But the fight isn't over. Do you agree?
I mean, the fight's not over in a big way or a small way, right? So obviously if these caverns are not safe to store methane in, they're not safe to store liquefied petroleum gases in either. They would actually be stored under more pressure.
But is it at the same location? The propane would be stored near?
Yeah. So essentially what happened was, you know, more than 100 years ago, there's these layers of salt under the earth on the banks of Seneca Lake. These are deposits left over from a period of time when this was the shoreline of a shallow ocean, and evaporation from the salt water just left these salt deposits down there. And so the salt is actually extracted by pouring water or steam down holes that are drilled into the formations, and you kind of melt away the salt until you see what's left behind. If you keep doing this enough, is a big cavern, like the size of a cathedral. And at some point, the whole thing will collapse. And so at that point, then you move further up the lakeshore and drill another hole and pour more salt or more hot water or steam down the hole. So if you do this enough times over enough period or long enough, you end up with 120 giant holes in the ground, which is exactly what you have on the west shore of Seneca Lake. And so when Crestwood purchased that property, it not only inherited a salt plant that turns out really fine salt. I mean, we're very proud of our salt here in the Finger Lakes. Some of it is so pure it can be used for medical purposes. So if you've ever had an IV drip in a hospital, you've almost certainly had Seneca Lake salt coursing through your veins. Some of it's used for table salt, some of it's road salt, and so on. And so this salt plant was purchased by an energy company from Texas, along with, you know, 5 miles of prime lakeshore property. Not because this energy company is so interested in making sure salt gets to market, but it wanted to get access to these old holes in the ground. And these particular holes are what, geologically, they're called interbedded salt caverns, meaning that they're interlayered like a layer cake with layers of shale. And these are actually considered the most dangerous underground salt, underground form of gas storage. In fact, I'm just reading today was released a new peer-reviewed study of underground natural gas storage that identified wells that have designs likely that are likely vulnerable to failure, like Aliso Canyon storage facility near Los Angeles, which was the single largest accidental release of methane in U.S. history, but also of any greenhouse gas in U.S. history. And that took place from October 2015 to February 2016, right? And so that terrible accident prompted this inventory of all the underground natural gas storage. And what they found was pretty frightening. I'm still working my way through this paper, which is in a peer-reviewed journal called Environmental Research Letters, which is something I follow pretty closely. And so there were many of these facilities were never designed originally for gas storage. They're, in other words, they're repurposed facilities, right? And that includes Seneca Lake. And so this study identifies those as particularly vulnerable to Aliso Canyon-style failures. In fact, about 20% of those kinds of gas storage facilities, in other words, the holes were created for some other reason. In our case, it was salt mining. Out in Aliso Canyon, it was oil drilling, right? And then you have these leftover holes in the ground, and then somebody decides, oh, we could stick a bunch of compressed natural gas in there until it can be put in pipelines and sent to burner tips. And those are considered pretty dangerous, with 20% of them vulnerable to Aliso Canyon-style leaks. So for us here, as far as we know, when we did this research, this is the only facility like this that's next to a lake that serves as a source of drinking water for so many people. There's just no other situation like that. So not only do you risk what happened to Aliso Canyon, which is thousands of families getting sick, having to evacuate, to schools closed, and people still having health problems because of it, but also, you know, you can ruin drinking water. You can ruin the whole wine industry. I mean, all it would take is one picture of a massive Aliso Canyon-style leak on Seneca Lake, and no one's going to buy the wine or have their vacations there, right? So it's almost as if you wanted to put Aliso Canyon right in the middle of Napa Valley.
So we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to ask you a couple of things. So Crestwood isn't going away. They're waiting for approval from the state, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, for their proposal that would store propane. Are you guys going away? What's your plan?
No one who has been fighting the methane storage is in favor of LPG storage. And so there have been side-by-side objections to both forms of gas storage, and that certainly continues. So over the years, certain groups of people have focused more on the methane storage, and others have focused more on the LPG storage. But these underground salt caverns are right next to each other. So this makes our job a little easier, I suppose, because now we're not fighting two different projects. We're only fighting one.
Okay. Well, Sandra Steingraber, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll stay tuned and hope to talk with you again about this issue.
My pleasure. Thanks for your interest.
Thank you.